Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
I always wonder if our sports heroes get a little bit older, or our music heroes, acting heroes get a little older. How does it make people feel? You know, do you
right?
Do you hear somebody celebrating a birthday and you hear the age and you're just kind of like, whoa, wow, that's kind of a, you know, kick to the chops,
right?
So when you hear that John Elway celebrated his 60th birthday over the weekend, there's so many people listening right now who, you know, well, probably still have their John Elway shrines set up, still have the posters on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel when you hear that John Elway is 60? So now that he's 60, what do you think?
I'm 52 or 51.
What do you think drives him right now? How driven do you think he is?
That's a good question. I think that John is, I know that John is uber competitive. And that, you know, I mean, he wants to win now, and probably to his own detriment at times, because I think sometimes you just have to understand what you have and you got to build a team. You know what I mean? Instead of just going and say, hey, it's the future is right now and we're going to win this year. We're going to win this year. And you don't address some of the core needs of your team because you're chasing a winning season this year. So, but that's the competitive nature of Elway, you know? I mean, I just think it goes against his nature to say, hey, well, you know what? Our roster got weak for whatever reason. We didn't draft well. Some of the free agents didn't pan out. I mean, it happens to everybody. It's not just endemic to this team. It happens to all teams. And if you don't have that stalwart at quarterback that erases your errors as a franchise, then you're gonna eventually have one of these runs, right? Like we've had the last 3 years where it's been, you know, 5-11, 6-10, 7-9. And so it's hard though, I think, from the competitive standpoint, if to say, hey, our roster's not very good. We may have to stink for a while to build it up. Kind of what San Francisco did, but they had a different, there was just a different, like they're not coming off a Super Bowl. So when Lynch and Kyle Shanahan became, you know, head coach / GM there, they came to the owner. I had this conversation with their owner. I mean, I sat right in their facility, you know, face to face. There was no social distancing at the time, so we were standing right next to each other. He said they came in, and it was a hard pill to swallow to say, we're not, your roster is not good enough, and it's going to take several years to basically strip it down and rebuild it. And you're going to have to be patient in that process. He goes, that's a hard thing to hear as an owner, that we got to strip this down because we're not any good. But he goes, eventually you just kind of have to go, okay, you know what? You're right. That's the reality of it. And here we go forward. But I know that, you know, I know that he's super competitive, man. He wants to win. I mean, there's nobody who wants to win any more than John. Yeah. Now everybody wants to win, right? But I don't know that. And here's again, the philosophical differences that, you know, tend to get me in trouble. I'm a believer, always will be a believer. There's nothing, you know, you can present all kinds of information. You can manipulate the stats any way you want to manipulate them. You know, you can throw a bunch of pro football focused numbers at me. The bottom line to me is if you don't control the line of scrimmage in the NFL, you don't win. My first offensive line coach, should be a Hall of Fame offensive line coach, Joe Bugle, died yesterday. 80 years old, Joe Bugle, man, one of the legends of this game. I mean, you think about, you know, I think about my career in general. I had Dan Cazzetto in college, who's a great O-line coach, put a ton of guys into professional football. So I was his first player ever to make it to the NFL. And Danny Cazzetto was a great coach. Then I had Joe Bugle. Joe Bugle left after my rookie year. I got Jim Hanifin, another Hall of Fame O-line coach. Then Jim Hanifin, I leave Washington, and I get Alex Gibbs for 6 years.
Ugh.
I mean, how blessed and how fortunate am I? But again, I grew up with coaches that were like, hey, forget about quarterbacks and forget about running backs and wide receivers. We're the backbone of this team. I mean, the Hogs ran the Washington Redskins. There was no question who was in charge.
Okay, he's doing it differently. He's not putting the same kind of emphasis on the offensive line as you would like, but the moves that have been made, especially on the offensive side of the ball, how can you look at how young this offense is right now and say, well, he's just driven to win and maybe too driven to win immediately? How can you make that kind of claim when you look at what's happening, the complete overturn of the offense? I mean, I'd agree with you that coming off the Super Bowl and that a lot of these, just sort of try to, fill the hole type moves, whether it was Case Keenum, whether it was, Joe Flacco, all with that obsession of we got to win and we got to win right now.
Right.
But I would argue that what you're seeing right now with especially the turnover on the offense is a guy who is stepping back and willing to take a longer view.
Yeah, no, I would actually agree with you. I think that's been the history, Mike. And I think there is a part of what's going on right now. Now the fan doesn't look at it that way, right? Bronco country doesn't look at it that way. The Bronco country thinks you're winning this year. You're going, 10-6, 11-5, and going straight to the.
Well, no. I don't think anybody thinks 11-5.
Colin Cowherd does. Colin Cowherd.
I think he thinks 10.
Colin Cowherd thinks they're going to win the division.
Okay. He's the outlier.
All right. So, I mean,
I think even the most optimistic Bronco fan is thinking, hey, I think they can win 10 this year. 10 is potential. I don't think anybody's thinking 11 or 12.
If you think
nobody's going full Ferguson.
If you think they're going to win 10, then isn't that a win now mentality?
Yes.
Yeah. But
I look at our board here.
Right. And most people, wait a minute. Now, most people look at the move for Jerry Jeudy and then KJ Hamler and then, and say, oh yeah, they're ready to burst on offensively. They're going to match the speed of Kansas City and they're ready to explode and Drew Lock is going to be an MVP. And I mean, these are the things that you hear that for me, I was like, there is a learning curve playing in this league and it's, there is a sophomore slump for a reason because people catch up to what you do well and they force you to do the things you don't do well and how do you adjust to that and on and on it goes. So that's an interesting dynamic to me with a football team.
All right, coming up, I think John Elway is driven, but I don't think he's driven for the same reason you think. I think it's a different goal that he has right now. I'll tell you what that is next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans here. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options, such as zero money down or 0% financing for 84 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar has over 1,800 new and used cars on site and at sthmotors.com. And number three, location. Siltahar is right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, and they will deliver any vehicle to your home for a test drive or after purchase. Visit sthmotors.com and get everything you want out of a dealership.
Four down territory coming up in about 15 minutes. Cam Newton, could he be the quarterback for the Patriots when the Broncos play them in week 5? So John Elway turned 60. And what motivates John Elway these days? And you were talking about how he's motivated. He's obsessed with getting back to winning again. To me, Mark, I think it's a little simpler than that. I think the whole quarterback thing is what drives Elway right now. If you could get him in a private moment, tap into that ego that everybody has, I gotta believe that the charges against him that, man, how is it that you are a great all-time quarterback and yet you haven't been able to find a quarterback? You got Peyton Manning, and yes, you get credit for bringing Peyton here, but Peyton was already Peyton. Okay, you didn't develop, you didn't discover Peyton Manning. So it's gotta drive him crazy that since Peyton isn't one. And I think much like it probably bugged Mike Shanahan, the idea that, well, you won, but you never won without John Elway as your quarterback. I think it bugs Elway how he is perceived when it comes to the quarterback position. And that's why you have seen the strategy, offseason strategy, put as much as you can around Drew Lock. His motivation, and I believe that he figures the winning will come about if you have the right quarterback. But his motivation right now is to leave Denver, leave the Broncos in good hands at the quarterback position. That's his goal. And it was reflected in the offseason moves.
To find himself a quarterback and have that be
his legacy.
Okay. I think that's reasonable. I mean, certainly, you know, when you look at drafting Paxton Lynch in the first round, we've already smeared him, so we don't have to go back. But some drafting him, moving up to draft Paxton Lynch and having that just be an utter debacle, right? I mean, that probably leaves a bad taste in your mouth, especially when you look at him like, dude, you don't even want to compete. Like, what? Like, how do, like, if you're John, how do you miss that?
How do you miss that, right?
How do you miss that? And interestingly enough, I mean, again, I've talked to several different organizations that were in on Paxton Lynch and didn't miss it. They're like, oof, no thank you. That doesn't mean all of them were that way, but certainly, there was speculation he was going to go in the top 10, I think somewhere like to Dallas, and they stayed off him. So I don't know, man. I think you're probably like have hit that to some degree that I've got to find myself, you know, to win consistently, you got to find yourself a quarterback anyhow. I mean, come on. You got to find a guy, whether Baltimore with Lamar, and who knows how long that's going to last based upon the system that they're playing, but Baltimore has it with Lamar. Kansas City has it with, with Patrick Mahomes. Who else are some of these young? In Buffalo, they've got Josh Allen. We'll see exactly how that, you know, pans out. But, you know, I mean, Miami just went and got Tua.
Houston, Watson.
In Arizona, they've got Murray. So, I mean, that's – and these kids are having a lot more success coming out of college and playing early than they've ever had in the past in this league.
But how many of these quarterbacks can you point to and say that their organizations have gone to such lengths to give them – every opportunity to succeed or put the pressure on them. Like, look at what we've given you. Go out and succeed.
Arizona. Oh, they went out and got the coach. They went out and got they drafted in the first round Josh Rosen the year before, fired him and then fired the coach and went out and got the coach that coaches that air raid system. Right. And then Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, and they went out and got DeAndre Hopkins this year. And yeah, they're loaded that way. That's, you know, that's what they did. There's nobody that's putting more pressure.
Cleveland with Baker.
Yeah. There's nobody that put any more pressure on a quarterback than Arizona's put on Kyler Murray. And you better know your guy can hold up. Right. Kyler Murray he's got that typical, like, unlike Baker Mayfield, he's like Baker a lot in that, you know, he's a smaller guy who has got that real confident, you know, attitude. But it doesn't come from a place of, you know, it's just different.
So if you're putting all these pieces around a quarterback, a young quarterback, on paper,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't work out, it's the quarterback's fault?
If you're putting all these young pieces around the quarterback and the quarterback can't play, I think more than anything you're going to find out. Right? I mean, you're going to find out, hey, man, this kid just doesn't.
But is it automatically the quarterback's fault?
There's always going to be some other factors involved on a, whether a guy, like if you can't protect him, like is that the quarterback's fault? If you don't, like there's always going to be some other factors, but if you give him all kinds of weapons and the times when he is protected, does he get the ball out on time? Is he accurate? You know, is he going to the right play? All those things are pretty measurable. If like last year for Drew Long, there were plenty of times where they have him drop back, they have him in shotgun, whatever it is, and they get, you know, they just get a basic cover one, they just get man under with a single high safety, and nobody's open. So that's hard to evaluate your quarterback. It's hard to look at your quarterback and go, well, is that his fault? I'll never forget my first year here with Mike Shanahan. And this is no offense. You know, we live in a world where everybody's offended about everything you say. So I'm just going to apologize.
In advance.
Because this is going to be offensive to some. But we had a game. I believe it was against the Chargers where nobody was open. Like nobody was beat. They were playing us in man and nobody was beating man coverage. I believe it was against Chargers. And Mike Shanahan said, if you can't beat man coverage, he was talking to the receivers, he goes, you'll be selling cars. You'll be selling used cars. Because that's your next step in life. If they give us man, you ought to be licking your fingers. Like we got to be able to beat man. I can show you dozens of clips from last year in every game where they get straight man across the board and they're not winning. And so, you know, I mean, it's hard to evaluate your quarterback. So that's another reason. Like, I think, you know, last year they were really hesitant to praise Drew Locke. And this offseason, you know, they showed, hey, man, we've got to upgrade our talent level. Remember all those people that, all the Bronco country would say, hey, our talent level's fine. It's the coaching. Well, no, they showed you that your talent level isn't good enough by the way they addressed the talent.
But see, that's because I agree with you. I mean, no surprise to anybody who's been listening to this show for the last several months. I never agreed with the idea of taking a receiver in the first round. Mm-hmm. Certainly didn't agree with the idea of then following up and taking another receiver in the second round.
Sure.
So I don't think it was the right way to approach the draft. So what that tells me is that, yeah, I mean, John is obsessed, or his goal is to get back and win again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think first and foremost, it's I got to show that I can find a quarterback. Because the way it's going right now, if Locke doesn't work out and they're back to square one at the quarterback position, after all the hype that came out this offseason and the Colin Cowards of the world saying Drew Locke is the guy to watch,
mm-hmm,
and this doesn't work out, that's Elway's legacy as a GM. People will just jump on it. Say, well, you got Peyton Manning, but that was Peyton Manning. That was more Peyton Manning than it was you. And when it was left to you, you failed. So I think, yeah, he wants to win. But his primary goal right now is, I got to set Denver up long term with a quarterback.
And if you do that, even if you decide, I've had enough, I'm going to drift off in the sunset.
Right.
For the next decade plus.
I left you with your guy.
And you win a championship or two, or you're competitive every year. I set you up with your guy.
Yep. And since you only have really 2 years to find out if he's your guy, let's throw as much around him as possible. Even if it isn't deep down in your gut, the right way to build a football team.
Yeah, I don't know if it's his thinking is the right way. I mean, in my thinking, it's not the right way to build a football
team. Do you think it really is his thinking that this is the right way? If you're just trying, okay, if on one hand you're trying to build a winning football team, and on the other hand you're trying to find your quarterback, I got to think if his goal is to just simply build the next great Bronco team, I don't think he approaches the draft like he did this year.
I don't know. I don't, Mike, that's an it's an interesting conversation to have, because I think if you look at the NFL in general, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of teams that think that's how you build a team. Cleveland Browns seem to think that that's how you build a
team.
Then
you look at the teams actually win.
They don't build them that way.
They don't build them that way. All right. We'll revisit this topic. Four Down Territory coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.